And kind of as a review for the last couple of weeks, we have been, we were in John 5 for 2 weeks. We looked at Jesus' relationship with the Father and how his identity as the Son of God was his life centered on the fact that he was the Son of God, and he operated from that position, he lived from that position. And we looked and we talked about how we as children of God, right, because we've been given the right to become children of God in Christ, we are sons and daughters, and how we can, you know, live from that same position as well and have that same understanding. And we also talked about one of the important dynamics of how Jesus said, apart from the Father, I can do nothing. That was Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, saying, apart from the Father, I can do nothing. And how with our own lives, right, we have to acknowledge that fact that apart from the Father, we can do nothing, apart from the Lord. And we have to declare that dependency upon Him. Well, this morning, I was praying this week about where we were going to go next with this. Definitely in the same vein and talking about our relationship with God, but going to kind of shift gears just a little bit. And we're going to look at what I'm calling an invitation to abide. We're going to look at this invitation that we have from the Lord to abide in Him. So from John 15, we're going to read verses 1 through 17. And we're going to see what this invitation looks like. So this is what Jesus says. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. That verse 2 is a verse that nobody likes to talk about, right? Nobody likes to talk about the pruning. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Now listen to this. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Sounds familiar. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And then verse 17, these things I command you, so that you will love one another. So let's pray. Father, God, we thank you for your word, and we take time to listen to your word this morning. God, we do pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and help us to understand your word, help us to apply it to our lives. God, I pray that you would help us to see where we need to make adjustments, Father, by your grace, where we need to repent of some things, or where we need to turn in our lives. Father, but ultimately, I pray this morning that you would help us to understand what it means to abide in you. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a lot of, I guess you could call them nuggets, if you will, in this passage that if you've been a believer for any length of time, you've probably heard some sermons on what we just read about. You've probably, I know I've preached a couple of sermons on the topic of how Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, right? That's part of our identity. in Christ. We've talked about being sons and daughters of God, but we also have this identity of being a friend of God, right? We're no longer servants or slaves or enemies. We are now a friend of God. So that's definitely in there. Some of the other things he talks about is loving one another, right? That topic is in there. But mainly what we want to focus on this morning is the topic of abiding and what that means. Because we have this invitation from Jesus to abide. And we're gonna talk about four brief things this morning, what I think what this invitation to abide looks like. I'm breaking the sermon rule. The sermon rule being having 3 points. And so Andy, do you know what I'm talking about? Andy's dad is a pastor, so he definitely knows what I'm talking about. But there's this quote unquote sermon rule that you have to have 3 points. So I had 2 last week. So Steve told me last night that you know it evens out with 4. So we kind of averaged that out. But anyways, we're going to look at 4 things this morning. First off. How this invitation to abide is an invitation to life. Okay, we're going to talk about how it's an invitation to rest, how it's an invitation for now, and how it's an invitation to bear fruit. Okay, so first off, with an invitation to life, Jesus is giving us some important truth concerning our relationship with God by using the illustration of a vine. Okay? He says things like, "I'm the vine." The Father's the vine dresser. It's kind of an interesting word, vine dresser. Father's the vine dresser. Wouldn't that be an interesting word for a superhero title? I'm the vine dresser, you know. The Father's the vine dresser, and you are the branches. He then goes a step further and declares that as the branches do not bear fruit apart from the vine, we do not bear fruit apart from Him. So the emphasis is on abiding in Him. That's where the emphasis is. So why have we been invited to abide in Him? Well, if you think about it, because the branches need the vine, right? The branches cannot live, the branches cannot flourish, the branches cannot produce leaves and flowers without being connected to the vine, right? The vine is the source of life. The vine is the source of life. In our backyard, we have this chain link fence with a gate, a chain link gate. And at the beginning of the spring, these vines started to sprout up. And I was like, oh, that'll be nice. You know, there's vines and that'll look nice on the fence. And so I just let it grow. And honestly, out of all the places we've ever lived, I've never seen vines grow so much as here in Louisville. I don't know. I mean, we had vines growing up in Arkansas, but they didn't grow as fast as they do here. You turn and boom, you know, the next day there's this vine. You know, where did it come from? But anyway, so on our chain link fence, we have this vine that's been growing. And this particular vine puts out these little bitty flowers. And with those flowers came bees and wasps and yellow jackets and all sorts of stinging bugs. And with that, ever since that has occurred, my daughter has had screaming fits every time we decide to go somewhere because she has to go through the gate by the bees to get to our car. And so last Wednesday, I was like, I'm going to just deal with this. I'm going to get rid of the vine so that we don't have to have a screaming fit. And of course, Isaiah's like, Leah, there's a bee. You know, I mean, he doesn't help with the situation. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to deal with this. So I go out there to the vine, getting ready to pull it off the fence, and go out there, and literally every flower has a bee stuck to it. And I'm like, great. So what do? I get my weed whacker, weed eater out, and I go for the bottom, right? I go for the root. And then sure enough, a few hours later, everything had started to wilt. The next day, the bees were gone, right? Why did that happen? Because the branches that were up on the fence got severed from the actual vine, from the root, from the source. And that's what Jesus is saying here. That's why this is an invitation to life, because He is our source. He's our source of life. So with that, I think begs the question for us then, we need to ask ourselves, what or who are we drawing life from? Who is our source? Are we drawing life from satisfying people's opinions of us, right? We can get stuck in that trap of always satisfying other people's opinions of us and want to, you know, and that's where we draw life from, or are we drawing life from a relationship, right? Are we drawing life from maybe our pocketbook, money, or possessions? Are we drawing life from an addiction, right? And you know, when we talk about addiction, we immediately think of sinful addictions, but there are addictions that aren't necessarily sinful that we can still draw life from, right? There's things in our life where we can get so focused on and so wrapped up in that becomes our source of life instead of Jesus being our source. You know, those are just some examples, but here we have Jesus challenging us to abide in Him and to draw life from Him. Because what happens when we don't draw life from Him and we draw life from those other things? What happens when people's opinions of us change? Because they do, don't they? Right? They do. Because we can't always live up to everyone's expectation. What happens when that relationship breaks up or that relationship fails? What happens when the pocketbook is empty? What happens when the addiction leaves us more empty than before? Right? All of those things that this world offers as a substitute for life is just that, a substitute. But here we have Jesus saying, "Come, abide in me, and as you abide in me, this fruit will be produced in your life." Why will the fruit be produced? Because there is life flowing through Jesus' veins. Right? Jesus exudes life. You can't be around Jesus and not live. That's what he's inviting us to. That's part of this invitation to abide, is this invitation to life. Secondly, this abiding is also an invitation to rest. Right? When you think about abiding, kind of think about the word abode, like your home. Like this is where we remain. This is where we're safe, right? That's kind of what this invitation involves as well. This is an invitation to rest. And for me personally, on the topic of rest, this is the one where I struggle the most. So I'm going to preach to myself for a few minutes, if you don't mind. But this is the one where I struggle with the most, because in my mind, rest equals apathy. You know, apathy being, well, I don't care, I just don't want to do anything, you know, kind of laziness, this lethargic attitude. In my mind, rest equals apathy. But that's not true, right? That's not true. Because God does call us to rest. God does call us both physically and spiritually to a place of rest. And that's part of what this invitation is. So what we do need to understand is this rest that happens in abiding is not apathetic, right? If you're like me and you're a workaholic, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you're like me and you're a workaholic, I do know what it's hard to rest. Okay? It's hard for those of us that like to work. It's hard for us to rest. However, on the flip side, talking about rest, I have heard people use talking about resting in the Lord as an excuse for their apathy. So we have to guard against that as well, right? We can't use this, well, I'm supposed to rest. We can't use that as an excuse to do nothing in the kingdom. We can't use that as an excuse to just sit on our hands. Right? The rest that happens in abiding is to propel us forward, not keep us stuck. In this passage, we see Jesus talking about, as we abide in Him, we will produce lasting fruit. So apathy doesn't produce fruit, rather it produces laziness. But true biblical resting in Jesus produces fruit, because His rest inspires mission. It inspires us to get up and keep going. It actually gives us a reason to keep going. You know, Isaiah 40:31 says this, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So there's kind of this irony or this paradox of sorts that those that wait on the Lord, those that rest in the Lord, those that find their source from the Lord, right, that He will strengthen us, because from that position of rest, right, as we're running, it says we will not grow weary. It doesn't say as we sit on our butts, we will not grow weary, right? It says as we run, we will not grow weary. As we walk, we will not faint. So here we see that this resting in the Lord, this invitation to rest, isn't an attitude of apathy. Rather, it's drawing from the Lord. It's resting in the Lord. So how do we rest in the Lord? Well, we probably understand the physical part of it. You know, we take time off, we take naps, and you know, that's a physical part. But in terms of spiritually and emotionally resting, how do we do that? Well, here's a couple of ways. One is we let worry go, right? We let worry go. Jesus said in Luke 12:7, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So what was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that the Father even has the hairs on your head numbered, right? And to the Father, you are worth more than the sparrow. So he's got the details taken care of. So in that, we're called to let worry go. Right? Another passage in Matthew, Jesus talks about how worry Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Care about itself. Right? So worry doesn't actually do anything. Right? Worry doesn't actually do anything. Sometimes, though, it feels good to worry, doesn't it? I mean, for me, let's just be honest. For me, I think for me, sometimes I find myself, if I'm not worrying about something, then I feel like I'm not being responsible. But what Jesus is calling us to here is to not worry. So I'm actually doing the reverse of what I think I'm doing. Does that make sense? Right? So resting in the Lord is letting worry go. Another way we rest in the Lord is literally that we trust in Him. Right? That we trust in Him. We do what He's called us to do. We remain faithful and obedient. And the rest we leave in His more than capable hands. You know, sometimes I think we trust more in the chair that we're sitting in than we do in the Lord. How many of us, right, when we came in, how many of us did we look at the chair, look at the joints, right? Did we inspect the bottom? Is this a capable seat? No, we just saw a chair and we sat down, right? We trusted that this chair was going to hold us. But how often, you know, do we trust more in furniture than we do the Lord? And again, I'm preaching to myself on that one because it's so easy to say, oh, just trust the Lord when things are good. When things are kind of not so good, that's where the rubber meets the road. So another way that we can rest in the Lord, right, is to trust Him. To trust Him. So we have this invitation to life. We have this invitation to rest. Thirdly, we have this invitation for now. We have this invitation for now. And let's read verses 9 through 11 once more. And I'll explain what I mean by that. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So this abiding that Jesus is calling to has a now sense to it. Right? Notice he doesn't set a timeline or a time frame on when our joy would be full. He basically is saying, guys, I'm telling you this right now so that your joy will be full right now. Right? You don't have to wait down the road. You don't have to, you know, wait till something happens in your life. But I want this to happen in your life right now so that your joy will be full right now. You know, I think it's easy for us to put a timeline on our relationship with God. Let me just give you some for instance. Maybe you've heard someone or maybe you said these things yourself. Once I get married, I'll kick my relationship with God into high gear. Right? Or once I get a better job, that's when I'll be able to love God better. Or once I quit this addiction, then I'll be able to know God better. Or once I go to that conference, then I'll get a breakthrough. Or maybe on Tuesday you blow it and you're like, well, I'll just wait to talk to God until Sunday when I go back to church. Right? How often have we said those things or thought those things? But what Jesus is calling to, he's saying, guys, I'm here now. Right? I'm here now, wherever you're at. You can come abide in me now. You can come and abide in me now. And specifically for us this weekend, I felt a sense from the Lord that He's calling us to abide in Him now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not once we get all our ducks in a row. He's calling us to this now. See, this looking to an event in life or a church or a person as your source instead of Jesus. That's what happens when we put a timeline on things. Well, once that relationship, you know, once I get married, then I'll get serious about God. But that's putting something else, an event or a person, as our source instead of Jesus Himself. Right? This is so vital for us to understand that we do not have to wait on something or someone else to abide in Jesus. We can do it now. We can do it now. Because so often what happens is when we focus on an event or a person, like, you know, once I get a better job, I'll have time, you know, I'll be able to focus on God better. We can focus so much on the not yet or what we don't have that we miss what God is wanting to do now and what is available to us now. Okay? So right now, we have access to God both individually and corporately. We don't have to wait for something else to happen. We can approach the throne of grace now. We can abide in Him now. And then lastly, with this abiding, it's an invitation to bear fruit. And I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 once more. He says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." You know, I think verse 16, this isn't really part of the point, just kind of a thought that came to mind. I think some of us need to let those words in verse 16 really sink into our heart this morning. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Because I think maybe some of us, in talking about our identity in Christ the last couple of weeks, being sons and daughters of God, I still think that maybe we don't get that the Father was after us. Right? Maybe we don't get that. But Jesus clearly says here, "You did not choose me, I chose you. I chose you." And why did He choose us? He appointed us that we should go and bear fruit, and fruit should that fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. So there's this invitation to bear fruit. There's this invitation to be fruitful. You know, ever been to IHOP? One of their dishes is called Rooty Tooty Fresh and Fruity, right? God's call us to be fruity, not in a crazy way, right? But fruity in a fruit of the Spirit kind of way. And we talked about this a few months ago when we were on the series of the Spirit. And if you remember, we talked about how as we live by the Spirit, we will produce fruit. Right? As we live by the Spirit, we will produce fruit. You can't live by the Spirit and not produce fruit. This would be the same thing that Jesus is referring to. This living by the Spirit would be, in a sense, the same thing as abiding in Jesus. So what Jesus is saying here is we can't abide in Him and not bear fruit. It's just not possible. Right? As we abide in Him, our lives produces fruit. And if our life isn't producing fruit, then that means what? We're not abiding in Jesus. We're not connected to the vine. We're like that vine on my chain link fence that has gotten severed somehow, cut off from the source. Right? He's chosen us and appointed us to bear fruit. Every single one of us, as followers of Christ, have been handpicked by God and given unique gifts and abilities to bring Him glory. And that will happen as we abide in Him. As we abide in Him. You know, I think one of the things of this invitation to bear fruit, you know, I think also part of it involves how you know, we'll pray, "God, I want to know Your will for my life. I want to know what You want me to do for You with my life." It's one of those things we pray. What, and Jesus gives us a glimpse into that, right? He basically gives us the first priority for us right here. If we want to fulfill God's will for our life, then we first and foremost abide in Him. We abide in Him. Why? And He tells us what happens as we abide in Him, or what it looks like to abide in Him, right? In verses like 9 and 10, He talks about abiding in His love, and at the same time, He talks about loving one another. So this abiding in Him has the sense of love to it, loving God and loving each other, right? So our God's will for our life, first and foremost, is to abide in Him and have this love for Him and this love for each other. So again, if we want to fulfill God's will for our life, it's really not that complicated. It begins by abiding in Him. So we've been given this invitation, an invitation to life, an invitation to rest, an invitation to now, to experience it now, and this invitation to produce lasting fruit. And it's all wrapped up in this call to abide. So where that leaves us this morning, I think there's a few questions that we can ask ourselves as we take time to worship again this morning. You know, for some of us, this abiding, for some of us, this is allowing Him to search our hearts and point out what our source of life is. Right? This is allowing Him to the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts and say, you know what, Chris, that in your life, that is your source instead of me. Right? That's allowing the Holy Spirit to do that. Or secondly, some of us, we need to get our rest in line. Right? Some of us need to understand rest and take time to rest physically and spiritually. But some of us are using rest as an excuse for our apathy. And we need to bring that to the Lord. Or some of us need to stop looking ahead and missing out on what God wants to do now in our lives. Because we have this invitation to now. And then fourthly, some of us, we need to get re-abided, reconnected to the vine in order that we bear fruit. So those are some things to think about this morning as we take time to go back into worship. But let's pray and then we will do that. Father, we just come before You, Lord, and we thank You, Jesus, that we have this invitation from You. God, we thank You that it's not a heavy invitation, it's not a condemning invitation. Rather, it's an invitation to good things, it's an invitation to life, it's an invitation to rest, it's an invitation that we can experience now. God, we can see fruit come out of our lives. Father, I pray for all of us here this morning, God, wherever we're at, God, for those of us here that have been drawing life from something else other than You, would You forgive us for that, Father? God, for those of us here that need to learn what proper rest, whether we haven't been resting or we've been using rest as an excuse, God, help us to see that. Help us to understand what it means to rest in You. Father, I pray for those of us here that have been putting off or waiting for something to happen before we actually dive in wholly to You, before we fully abide in You. God, would You forgive us of that? Help us to come to You now. Father, for those of us that maybe our lives aren't producing fruit as You've called us to, as You've invited us to, Lord, I pray this morning that we would get reconnected, that we would re-abide in You. God, we thank You for that this morning. We honor You and we worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.